solemnly swear that we are up to no good.
Welcome to We Solemnly Swear, a Mick Olson podcast. We are a group of sisters who are diehard Harry Potter fans, and we want to share our crazy passion and knowledge for the wizarding world with our fellow Potterheads. Today we have...
Tori, your regal Ravenclaw.
Lexi, your haughty Hufflepuff.
Jamie, your grandiose Gryffindor.
Nadine, your high and mighty Hufflepuff. I almost read this.
Come back!
Today, we have such egotistical, pompous words because we're talking about Percy Weasley.
Percy!
Yeah! Which is kind of a weird character to talk about, but I think there's a lot to talk about with him. And we see, like, his story arc really, really well in the series. So, also... A couple weeks ago, me and Nadine got into a spat about Percy over Marco Polo.
A spat?
No, I was thinking, like, where did we figure this out that we disagreed? But I think it was on our Battle of Hogwarts episode.
Oh, is that where it was?
Because when he came back, I was like, best moment ever. And you're like, worst moment ever.
That makes more sense.
So we've gotten into it afterwards. But I think that's where it started. Oh.
Okay. Well, I have to admit that as I researched this podcast, my feelings did change, which I was surprised. So we'll get into that later, though.
Didn't even have to convince you. I came ready.
I didn't have to convince me because I didn't do the research. So.
Okay. Jamie.
Well, we know that Percy is frequently seen as a pompous prat. He's not very liked by his younger brother Ron, and Harry kind of leeches onto that as well.
Which of the brothers do like him?
None of probably them. Bill.
Bill? Charlie, maybe? They probably think he thinks himself too serious.
Yeah. So, yeah, we know that Percy is one of the Weasley children, so he's the older brother to Ron, Fred, and George, and Ginny. That makes him the younger brother to Bill and Charlie.
The third Weasley son.
Middle child syndrome. Go, go.
Been there, done that.
Oh. Every day, all day.
Every day. Percy, we know, sided with the ministry over his own family for the majority of the series. There's a change of heart at the end, but he did choose the ministry over his family actively.
For that last... like 3 seconds he changed his mind.
It was like a chapter and a half.
It was like the most important chapter
when it counted.
When he was siding with the ministry, he wasn't actually joining like the dark side. He was just trying to get all the power and the status that he possibly could, which kind of makes sense if he did grow up in a big family, so I can understand why he was just like, I'm gonna prove myself in the worst way possible. Like,
in the worst way possible.
Yes. Arthur, Percy's father, worked at the ministry, but he didn't have the same level of respect that Percy was searching for. He wanted more.
I want more.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, but we also kind of see this side, like Ron struggles with it. We see it kind of like he gets dispirited by his family's financial situation, and he gets jealous of Harry a couple times in the books. So Percy, it makes sense that Percy would feel this way too. He's just expressing them in different ways, and it kind of like fuels his ambition. Like, I'm gonna prove myself. I'm gonna get out of this. I'm not going to live that legacy of my parents.
Yeah, there's something I'll read later, but they talk about how Percy's almost like the perfect combination of Gryffindor and Slytherin, because he is like brave for standing up for who he is and like admitting his mistakes in the end, but also like he's driven by his ambition and his pride in what he does. Ooh. And that's like a 100% Slytherin trait. But they argue that like he chose to be in Gryffindor just to impress his family because he needed that.
Like, every Weasley.
External validation from his Red family hair, because every Weasley ropes. Is a Gryffindor. But if he hadn't have been raised to, like, try to, like, be that Weasley, he probably would have been sorted into Slytherin.
Oh my goodness. I do not have headphones in my laptop right now. What a recording nightmare. Okay, I'll be right back.
Should we just with Jamie stop this adjusting now?
Her whole body.
I had to get comfortable. Like, I was just squishing into a better position. I didn't want to sit up anymore, okay? It's been a long day.
Oh my gosh, that was great.
Also, for our listeners, Nadine is like 9 months pregnant, so we don't falter for this at all.
Do you know how many gallons of milk she's put into the pantry?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, she's like bought out the store of milk cartons because she keeps putting them in her pantry instead of her fridge.
Oh my god. I like tapped my we'll recording and I was like, I'm not talking right now, but all these little signs are
like all these little slides.
Wow. Beautiful.
Oh man. Okay, editing nightmare, but I will deal with it. It's only been 6 minutes.
We can start over.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
It's only been 6 minutes. I'm going to pee my pants.
Go to the bathroom.
I just ran across my house. And my bladder.
Maybe we can take a break.
No.
So you can
take
pee.
A break.
Kill Stop right singing now. Songs and go.
Jonas Brothers songs. Okay. Should I keep going?
Yes.
Yeah.
Continue. So something else we know about Percy is that he always puts his faith in authority. And this is shown in book two when Penelope Clearwater is attacked by the basilisk. Percy obviously is like distressed and like tormented by this. I think one, because they were like dating at the time.
Yeah,
right?
I'm pretty sure it's because they were dating.
Little
but
smoochy.
George makes the comment and says, I don't think he thought the monster would dare attack a prefect. And like using that like authority card of like, I am a person of status, and so how dare you even think about questioning that or attacking
me? I should be safe.
I disagree with you, Lexi. I totally think that Percy does that frequently, that he's like, I'm better than you because I got the badge. Bam. But I definitely think in Chamber of Secrets, it was like, it was because of a girl. And no offense to George, he was at that level of looking at girls yet. So.
No, I just was saying that's a quote from the book that points to that.
But they also just like couldn't picture Percy also looking at girls like that.
That's true. He's a robot to them.
Yeah, they were just like, there's no possible, like, that's the only explanation on why he would be sad about Penelope. Like, that didn't even cross their mind that something else could be happening.
Whatever. They're in there like...
They were like, they're 14, weren't they?
Yeah, they're totally thinking about girls.
No, George, I think that George thinks that, but they don't think that Percy could ever... think that.
Oh.
Because he's a like, robot.
I was Fred like, George and Fred are not
Fred and George
robots.
Were definitely on that boat at like 12, but like, I'm just saying that they all were just like, Percy would not like, do that.
Percy doesn't have feelings. He's a robot.
Oh my God, you guys.
What? You missed the boat.
I missed the boat.
Moving on off of the boat here. So, Percy is a prefect, so which means he has all of the power, and he's super stoked about it, and it's another like very self-important moment of him, and he's always running around being like, I'm a prefect. But what's funny to me is that he like they like kind of make fun of it when Percy's a prefect, but then when it gets time that like Ron and Hermione are like, I don't know, it changes a little bit in the books. Like they don't they still act that way of like, we're a prefect, we need to do this, but it's not seen as like as self-important. So do you think that's because Percy overdid it or just because?
I think just because their brother has a different personality. And so shunning him and treating him, they're like, oh, I see how it is sort of thing. I think that would have get to Ron's character more than it would have ever gotten to Percy's. Percy is like, we need to poke fun, poke the bear kind of thing.
Well, I think Percy probably took it too far, too, right?
Oh, like, totally.
He took his responsibility way too seriously. Like, sorry, I said that weird. Way too seriously.
Why so?
Way.
Why so seriously? But, like, he would discipline fellow students, whereas, like, Ron would never do that. Maybe Hermione.
Ron's like, be chill.
No, be chill. I don't want to give, think like...
Ron, I think Ron tried really hard not to be the prefect that Percy was.
No, yeah. I don't want to give, like, the Percy plug here, but you guys, I think another part of the thing you have to look at is where they're placed in the family. Percy is the older brother to Fred and George, and he sees them as troublemakers that he has to handle. He needs to make sure that they're okay.
Reflect whereas his status, yeah.
Yeah, whereas Ron is underneath them. He's like, I know that I can't control them. Like, whatever.
See, in this situation, Tory is Percy. Oh, he and Jamie are Fred and George. And then Kenton is Ron. I'm just kidding, Tory.
I see how it is.
Lexi has no part in this whatsoever.
Lexi just wanted to be Fred and George.
I just wanted to be Fred.
I'm cool with that. I mean, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Well, Percy is pretty much exactly what his parents wanted in a son. He's smart, well-behaved, respectable, and respectful. And he is on his way to a very good job. The issue is that he took these things too far. He acted pompous that he was like God's gift to men, wizard men, and was easily led and almost obsessively just like, with the flow of that job. Like, I want my ministry job, so I'm going to believe everything the ministry says, does, thinks, everything.
When his respect for his family just like plummeted, he like stopped talking to them.
Well, he already didn't like his father's job and how,
yeah,
like his dad never like tried to rise through the ranks.
Yeah, he saw his dad's job as almost demeaning, right?
Mm-hmm. But like he didn't understand that where Arthur is fanatical and like in love with the thing he does rather than, and Percy's like, I need to rise in the ranks, become more powerful, more influential. It's just a different personality.
Well, I also think so much
personality.
Yeah, like personality. Good one. Okay. We should totally name our podcast Personality. But I think I sympathize with Percy a little bit, and I sympathize with him because I understand not wanting to be compared to other people. Like, Arthur's job is like, not high on the totem pole at all. And it's also laughed at, by like many people in the ministry, and when I was growing up, I was always compared to certain people in my family, and I never wanted to be a part of them. Like, I wanted to be my own individual, and I wanted to have my own dreams. I didn't want to be known as like Nadine, relative of whoever. Like, I wanted to be just Nadine. So it was like, I sympathize. Like, that's kind of the angle I see it. Like, he just wants to, like, pave his own path and be his own success, but he feels, like, tied down by the stereotype of his family. It's like, oh, well, you're never going to amount to anything because Arthur loves muggles too much. And it's like, no, I want to do more, you know?
Mm. Yeah. You're just a Weasley. Another Weasley.
Another Weasley.
Well, he's also, like, living in the shadow of his two older brothers, too.
I was going to say,
like Bill wasn't it Bill who was head boy, got, like, top grades in his class.
Yep. 12 OWLs.
Yeah, like, he was definitely living in shadows, and so he felt the need to prove yourself.
Yeah, but I get the social pressure that, like, I'm not saying it's right, and it's nothing that I'm, like, super proud of, like, in my own upbringing, but it's like I get the pressure to almost like denounce the people that bring you down, because it's like,
yeah,
I just want to be myself, you know, and like that pressure can bring out different sides of you. So
yeah, and he's still a teenager at this point, right? Like,
yeah,
even if he's 2 years out of Hogwarts, he's only 19 and is still trying to like find his way and be his own person. So yeah, I totally agree with you, Nadine. It makes sense why he would react this way.
Yeah. But anyways, we know that he like openly hero worships his boss, Barty Crouch, with his first ministry job, even though he gets treated like crap and called the wrong name thousands of times. Weatherby.
Weatherby.
He just like takes so much pride in it. He takes so much pride in it that he like blinds himself to any like wrongdoing that might be going on.
Yeah, well then he takes his work so seriously too, right? Like he's an assistant, but he hides in his room every day to finish his tasks and projects before the deadline so he can impress everyone at work, right? He like misses out on family parties. He like, is it the fourth book that they're like clashing the tables together outside and he like yells out the window like, knock it off, I'm working. Like he just like doesn't spend any time with his family because he needs to get his job done so he can look good to Barty Crouch and to the people in that office.
And because of all of this hard work that he was doing to impress everyone, he became the junior assistant to the Minister of Magic. Which just sounds horrible. The junior, like...
Junior assistant. Not even just assistant. Junior assistant.
Yeah. And not assist... Yeah, it's obviously... They don't think they do the assistant Minister of Magic, but it's assistant to the... like, it's the office problem.
Lowly, small, junior assistant to the minister.
Yeah.
I like it.
So he thinks it's, again, because of how hard he's worked to impress everybody. But Arthur is pretty sure it's because the ministry now has a perfect way to spy on the Weasleys. Because they know that Percy won't say no.
Right. And they know, well, they know that the Weasleys house Harry Potter. Percy believed that Voldemort was not back, which was from the ministry. That's what they kept spraying out there, that Harry was a loony bin. Instead of believing his own family, his blood, and his mom and dad and Harry. Which is super sad.
Yeah, and it's really sad because, like, in any other circumstances, everything that Percy has accomplished at this point is, like, a major thing, something that should be celebrated. But the system that he's in is so corrupt. That, like, the ministry is, they start attacking Dumbledore and they start attacking Harry, who, like, is a close family friend who saved his younger sister from Lord Voldemort, who, like, has done so much for them, and, like, the Weasleys stand behind Dumbledore, and it's just sad because it's, like, those are things that you should chase after. Like, his ambition should have been praised, but because it was corrupt and he refused to see it, it all just kind of like came crumbling in on him.
Yeah, and this is where like the ultimate betrayal comes in between Percy and the rest of the Weasleys, is that like Percy staying in his job was going directly against Dumbledore and Harry, and like they considered Dumbledore and Harry as part of their own family, so it was like, how could you be like shunning or disbelieving a member of our family? But I also think, like, it says, I was reading this a lot of this material is coming from, well, it's not Pottermore anymore, wizardingworld.com. It's weird. But there's like a whole article about Percy, and they say that he might as well have been attacking Ginny and Arthur as far as the rest of the Weasleys were concerned. And I think they put that in there too, because Ginny and Arthur both had understanding, like, were eyewitnesses to Voldemort's return, right? Like, Ginny had been possessed by Voldemort. And then Arthur had been attacked in the Department of Mysteries. And so they both were directly affected by Voldemort. And Percy agreeing with the ministry over them is like him disregarding the word of his family members.
Yeah, that definitely caused a very big rift.
Right. Well, he doesn't visit Arthur in the hospital, right?
No.
Mm-hmm. And like when he like, doesn't he send back all of his Christmas presents?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like Molly just like loses
Can you imagine?
It. Yeah, so sad.
Talk about passive aggressive. Dang, Percy.
Dang. He's just blinded. I don't even know how to say this one because I don't agree to it. So someone else says it says he was feeling guilty of, or he was guilty. Oh, sorry. I read it. He was feeling guilty of superior, of being feeling superior. I was like, that makes no sense. Like he was, okay.
He was guilty. That I am better than all of you.
Yeah. He was guilty of feeling superior and abandoning his family. At the same time, he was blinded by his own position and faith in the system, which has to work. It's gotta work.
Don't have faith in the system.
Anyway, Percy should have realized that the favor that Fudge extended to him, and then later Scrimgeour. Oh my gosh, my brain doesn't work anymore.
I always say Scrimgeour.
Just take out that E.
There you go. Well, the favors that both the ministers of magic that extend to him are clearly manipulative attempts to get to his family. But instead, Percy again is unquestioning of the preferment that serves his ambition. Percy's great faults are an authoritarian streak that gives him too much faith in the Ministry of Magic and an uncritical acceptance of circumstances that advance his career. He's so focused on being more, gaining more, having more favor, and having more in his like little collection that he doesn't see the manipulation behind it or the possible motives behind it. Like, I don't know. He just doesn't see beyond that, which is, it's sad.
Yeah. And
he never questions the authority. He always just is like, yep.
And up until the end, right?
Yeah. Like, I kind of argue that he knew, but he didn't want to know, you know, like he just didn't want it to be true. And slowly,
it's easier to feign ignorance.
Yeah. And slowly, it's just like these things keep happening where it's like, okay, I can't play this card anymore, but you're so deep into the hole that it's like, how do I come back? And it's really, really hard, especially when you've dug yourself that deep, to like swallow your pride and come back out. Like, everything I did was wrong, which is what he does at the Battle of Hogwarts. And he admits that he made the mistake, and he fights with his family.
What point do you think he actually started to regret everything, but then he had to wait for it to be, like, the final battle to, like, come out with it?
I think he regretted every choice. Like, I feel like he knew what he was doing, every choice that he made. It just slowly snowballs. Like, I feel like he felt regret every single time, but he was like, but I'm advancing my career. I'm doing all these things that I want, and, like, I'm still getting reward from these decisions, and like they sting a little bit, but then like it snowballs. So I feel like he felt regret every time he like slated his family for his career. I feel like that would have to hurt.
But why would you, if it was like all on a career basis, why would you send back a Christmas present that no one else would have seen?
I think he just doesn't want to completely sever those ties and not be seen as part of that.
Well, he probably...
I'm sure he gets lost in it, yeah.
Like, his family feels betrayed by him, right? But he probably feels betrayed by his family for not trusting him, because he is in such high power and authority, and because he has had such a straight record his whole life. He's like, why is my family, like, trusting Harry? And that's what this next point actually talks about. From Cora, someone went on this rant about Percy and said that we should look at step away from Harry's point of view and see Harry's life from Percy's point of view. And so Ron said that once, that whatever he did, it wouldn't matter because his brothers had already done it, right? Like, Ron had had that mentality, so he could never really get in trouble because his brothers were already like crazy. Mm. But Percy's mother, her pride and joy is handsome Bill, 12 OWLs, head boy, pursuing a career in banking. And then Charlie, he's a Quidditch captain. He could have played professionally, but now he's learning how to train his dragon.
Woo!
And so he has really like hard older brothers to compete with, right? He's not as handsome as Bill. He's not as awesome as Charlie. And so Percy is like, I will be straightest arrow there ever was, and I will achieve greatness. He follows the rules. He tries to help. Oh, this isn't the one I want to talk about. Never mind. This is still all really good information. But the thing that I wanted to talk about was, like, when Percy meets Harry, like, Harry gets in trouble a ton his first year and loses, like, 150 house points for the trolls? For something. I don't remember what it was.
A lot of combined.
But he loses house points from Gryffindor. Second year, Harry crashes the family car and Percy's probably like, Harry probably convinced Ron to fly that car instead of faulting his own brother, right? Nothing really happened third year for him to fault Harry. Like, fourth year, he was suspiciously entered into the tournament. Like, from Percy's point of view, he probably saw Harry as, like, this troubled little brat of a boy who was, like, bringing his awesome brother Ron down into the depths of hell with him, you know? And so when Ron becomes prefect, that's, like, Percy's way to connect with him and throw him a bone. Like, hey, you don't have to be this troublemaker like Harry Potter is. You could be better than that. And so, I don't know.
Interesting. Things.
It is true that, like, Harry and Percy never develop a relationship. Like, so Percy seeing it as more of, like an outsider and not, like, well, what do I owe to Harry, you know? Other than Ginny's life and the number of other things. But you know, like, when you don't have that, like, connection with someone, it's easier to not be loyal and to question them.
Yeah. And then this last part is, again, is something from Reddit, and they're just asking a bunch of questions. I won't read this whole thing, but they're definitely pro Percy, and so they ask, they say, can we talk about how an incredibly ambitious young man likely ended up in the worst possible house for him because he was terrified of disappointing his family? Can we talk about how he'd been told his entire life that to be ambitious, aka to be Slytherin, was a bad thing? Can we talk about how Percy felt more accepted and comfortable at the ministry, where people couldn't even remember his name, than he did with his own family, who made him the butt of practically every joke, who either looked down on his goals or couldn't be bothered to show an interest simply because it wasn't something they themselves were keen on. Yeah. And people wonder why he sided with the ministry over his family, over Harry, who was a complete stranger and was more easily accepted than he ever was. Let's talk about how maybe Gryffindor was the right house for him, because even after all this, when he was proved wrong, he had the guts to come back, to apologize to his family that he loved, and who did of course love him, even if they didn't really understand him. Can we talk about how brave that was? Perfect Percy admitting he was wrong to his father, who had once idolized, and then working as a spy for the Order. Keeping that distance between he and the rest of his family in place so he could feed them info about the ministry. And then can we talk about how he turned up at the last minute to help fight the Battle of Hogwarts, and how he lost his little brother, who, if Percy had been just a minute or two later down that passageway, would have died practically hating him. And it just goes on to say, like, can we talk about how Percy is, in the end, perhaps the perfect... I'm looking at my Ravenclaw here. Amalgamation.
Amalgamation?
Of Slytherin, or combination of Slytherin and Gryffindor. And so, like, I had never even thought about any of this. I was very anti-Percy and didn't like that they forgave him. I felt like he was too far gone and betrayed his family and lost sight of, like, that core of who he was or where he came from. But this all totally makes sense, and my mind was changed while I was editing this podcast.
Nice. Jamie, what about
you? But I want to ask Jamie, how do you feel about Percy?
So, I mean, the points that were given, like, I can definitely see why he would start going down that, like, path of, like, ministry. But I feel like while he was there, he kind of, like, I don't know, like, he, like, relished too much in it of, like, I'm gonna, like, get back at my family for being so mean to me. So I don't know, like, part of me, like, he still made, like, some errors that were, like, malicious. But, like, the fact that he does come back and, like, admits it, I mean, if someone comes back and admits that they're wrong and, like, ask for forgiveness, you can't just be like, well, I'm gonna, like, remember this one time that you mailed your thing back. No, like, I, like, okay, fine. Like,
but you're right, Jamie, he did, like, he stabbed the knife, but then he kept twisting to, like,
yeah, like, pain,
right?
I think that's that, like, yeah, like, he definitely, I can see why he started down the path, but, like, he went further than he should have, because he definitely had more control and chose not to. And then, like, what Nadine said, like, he definitely at some point wanted to come back to the family, had no way of doing it until it was, like, the ministry has fallen and Voldemort's gonna win, so like it's now or never like type of a moment. That was like the only time he possibly could have come out and like been like, actually, like, I was wrong. Because if Voldemort had won, like, maybe Percy would have been Minister of Magic. I don't know. Like,
like, Percy for Minister. Yeah. No, I can, I see, like, that all makes sense. It's hard. It's like, I think I see so much Gryffindor in Percy, especially in his coming back, though. Like, I think that's some of the most courageous things that people will do is to admit that they're wrong. And to turn your, like, first off, in the bad perspective, I think it takes a lot of courage to cut off your only support system, your family, and, like, move out on your own and, like, banish them all. Like, I think that takes a lot of courage for the negative. But I think it takes, so much courage to like come back and face the people that you've hurt the most, which would have been his family and like his mom, because it's so much easier to just be like, well, I've like, I can't face my mom like ever again, like the things that I've done to her, like but like, and you all know I love a good redemption story, so I'll try
Draco Malfoy
pregnancy hormones, I'm not gonna cry, but like the I think it's beautiful that how Molly accepts him back in immediately. Like, it's the prodigal son, the biblical story, like to a T to me, that it's just that like you think that you're so far gone and that no one, like, you're not worthy of the love, you don't feel like you deserve it, and you like, that just shows so much courage that he actually went back and like faced his mom. And I love Molly so much for the way that she handles taking Percy back in. And I also think, like, because you think about, like, he was the only one that knew where Fred's body was, so he had to like lead his family back there, and like, I just think it's so hard for him and it took so much courage. And I think if there's like a big lesson that the Harry Potter books tell us or teach us, is that like there's a difference between doing something terrible and being a terrible person, and that like the world isn't separated from good people and Death Eaters, and you know, like all of those themes. And I think Percy is one of those characters that showcase that, and that like you can come back, like you can make horrible choices and you can have ulterior motives and you can be corrupt, and you can realize your mistakes and like come back. And I also think going to the Battle of Hogwarts was a risky move on his life, like his safety too. You know, like that wasn't like a playground to go walk into, you know?
Yeah, but doesn't he fight one of his coworkers too while he's there?
Yeah.
Doesn't he fight with sickness?
Yeah, so he has to like, I don't know, it just shows that he was willing to sacrifice so much to fight for good, to fight for his family, to, like, come back, and I think he deserves our support.
That was beautiful, Nadine.
Sorry. That was beautiful, Nadine.
The hormones.
The hormones.
Anything to add, Tori?
Not after that.
do you want to talk about what he would do after the seventh book?
Oh, it says that he went and became a part of the Department of Magical Transportation or something. He got married. He had two girls.
Are you saying that he made more flying cars?
Basically.
Dad, in honor of you.
He became the conductor of the Hogwarts Express. No, that'd be the coolest thing ever.
Did he really?
No, I'm making that up. I love that you think whatever I say is fact. It's the best thing in the world.
None of that what you said is true?
No, everything I said before my fake becoming the conductor is true. He did continue. He went back and worked for the ministry under Kingsley Shacklebolt as minister. He did get married, I think, to Audrey. Audrey. Yeah, and he had a little girl named Molly. He named it after his mom.
Yeah,
Molly and Lucy. Yeah. There you go.
I remember this. Okay,
but yeah, he named his little girl after his mom. She's Molly Weasley the second. Mm-hmm. Sorry, the second. That's awesome. Maybe she doesn't go by that, because that's still really awful. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure that he... I think of the boys, Percy probably had a really good relationship with his mom, even though his mom, like, loved... Obviously, she loved Percy as well, but I think she, like, bestowed her happiness and, like, praise upon Bill and Charlie. I think she really, really deep down loved Percy a lot.
Especially well, of course, with, like, she's her kid, but let's be honest, there are kids that are easier to love than others. Like,
it's true.
If you're a snotty, pompous, arrogant, like, talk back kid, it's like, yes, I love you, but man, like, you are trying my patience. It's just harder. You love him unconditionally, but it's harder. And I think he's totally that kid.
Yeah. So tell us what you guys think about Percy. Do you agree? Do you as listeners, do you forgive Percy? What do you think? We want to hear. And reach out to us on our social media channels at We Saw Me Swear Cast, and tell us these things. We want to know. And we would just love to hear from you. So let's connect.
Mischief managed.